is good to be with you again. This is the first time that I have joined you where I'm a part of a series. And so as I was working with Pastor Dave, he said, I get to be in the middle. You've already done the cup of sanctification and the cup of deliverance, and you will be receiving next week the cup of praise, and then on Good Friday, the cup of suffering. I have the cup of redemption. And as I began thinking and praying over what this redemption looks like and what it means and what it would be like to actually drink from this cup of redemption, my thoughts went to Psalm 130. As you may be familiar, Psalm 130 is a part of the Songs of Ascent. These are 15 psalms that the Jewish people would sing as they ascended up into Jerusalem, literally as they were walking up. And then there are 15 steps up to the temple, so they would go and sing one of these songs on each step. And we're familiar with songs within our communities. I'm sure that you all have been to Bible camps and you have been to retreats where around a campfire you have sung songs that are familiar to you. You have sung Kumbaya, and you have sung They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love, and you have sung songs that were so familiar. These are the songs that Jesus and his disciples and those who are going up to Jerusalem for Passover for sure sang. You know, I will get to Psalm 130 in just a moment. That there's a context here. Faithful Jewish men needed to come up to the temple three times a year. They needed to come for Passover, which we're celebrating right now. Passover, remembering their deliverance from Egypt, and it also coincided with the barley festival. Barley harvest. 7 weeks later, they needed to come for Pentecost, remembering the receiving of the Torah from God at Mount Sinai, also beginning of the wheat harvest. And then again in the fall, the festival of the temple, festival of the tabernacle or booths, where they remembered that they had been traveling for 40 years in the desert, and it coincided with the ingathering of fruit. And so as they came to the temple, they were remembering who they were. They were remembering their history. Part of that remembering was not good. They remembered that as they came out of Egypt, one of the first things they did was grumble. Moses, why did you bring us out into this desert to die? We had a lot of food back in Egypt. And then when Moses led them to the mountain, one of the first things they did was make a golden idol. What is wrong with you people? And then when they were going to go into the promised land, they didn't believe Joshua and Caleb. They believed the 10 other spies. We can't go into this land. There are giants there. They remembered their unfaithfulness, and more particularly, they remembered that they had been exiled to Babylon. Yeah, they knew their history. That after Solomon had died, the 12 tribes divided into the northern kingdom of 10 tribes and the southern kingdom of Judah, 2 tribes. Because of the unfaithfulness of the Jewish people, all 20 of the northern kings were unfaithful to God. Not one of them was faithful to God. And the whole northern kingdom was taken out in 722 BC by the Assyrians. They're no more. And now a remnant remained, Judah. But only 8 of the 20 kings in Judah were faithful. And so to punish the people for their unfaithfulness, Babylonians came in 597 and began taking them into exile. And so the songs that they are singing are songs that have been put together since the exile. They are realizing that they need a redeemer. And one of the songs that they sing is Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? You. There's forgiveness. So that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord. My whole being, my soul waits. And in your word, put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen, wait for the morning. More than watchmen. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. Israel, put your hope in the Lord. For with the Lord is unfailing love. With him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. This hymn, this song, speaks so deeply about two truths that we know about. It speaks about the truth that those of us who are singing it are sinners. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, if you were to keep a record of sins, who could stand? None of us. We are sinners. We are those who need to be redeemed. We cannot drink from this cup. We cannot sing this song without knowing that we are sinners. Paul will speak to this in Romans. And you know the verse as well. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned, fall short of the glory of God. And then Paul again writes in 6:23, and the wages of sin is death. Yeah. When we drink from this cup of redemption, we know automatically that we are sinners in deep need of redemption. The other great truth that emerges from this hymn is that we have a Redeemer who is greater than our sins. We have a Redeemer who will forgive us our sins. We have a Redeemer who he himself redeem all our sins. Paul will also write that while we were still in our sins, Christ died. So that if we confess with our lips and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. There is a Redeemer as we drink this cup. Now, I know sometimes we who are in the church can use big words. And so this is just a simple story. What does redemption look like? Okay, there was once a master builder who used his skill and techniques to build beautiful homes. He could build anything. And he was such a good builder and craftsman that he used only the finest materials. And his insights and techniques were just cutting edge. He was amazing. In his spare time, he designed an elegant toy for his only grandson. He crafted this magnificent 1-96 scale version of a ship. All the intricate inlaid wood. He even did the rigging by hand. Hand sewn all the sails. It was a magnificent clipper ship. It was spectacular. He had spent hours and hours and hours perfecting every detail. He even had a little motor in it so it could go a little bit in the water, but it wasn't strong enough to go, you know, out in the ocean. So whenever his grandson played with it, he made sure that it was in this little lagoon, and he told his grandson, you know, this is a good toy, but make sure that you take care of it because it's not meant for heavy water. As boys will do, they have friends. And his friends were over one day, and they wanted to see this boat float. And it was doing fine in the little lagoon, and they pushed the boy to, well, let's see if it can do on stronger water. And sure enough, the boat went out into that stronger water, and it was such a good boat that it caught a sail, and it went farther and farther out into the lake. The motorboats were. It was gone. The boy told his grandfather what he had done. Grandfather loved his grandson. It's irreplaceable. Several months later, his grandfather was walking in town along the lake, he saw in the window of a resale shop his boat, his ship that he had made. So he went into the storekeeper, and the storekeeper knew exactly who he was, this master builder. And the storekeeper knew that on the boat was the name of who had built it. So the storekeeper knew that he could charge him whatever he wanted, and so he tripled the price. Grandfather then bought back the boat that he had made at an exorbitant cost. Gave it back to his grandson. See, that's what redemption is. God created us in such a beautiful and perfect way. And through our sins, we became lost. And there is no way that we could redeem ourselves. But the Creator could redeem us. And that's exactly what he did through the blood of Jesus Christ. This blood that was shed for our sake so that we could be bought back. We could be ransomed. We could be made new. We could become his people again. That's what it means to be redeemed. It means to know that we are the ones who are sinners, who are standing in the need of prayer, who are standing in the need of redemption. And yeah, the other great truth is, yes, we have this Redeemer God, Jesus Christ, who shed his blood so that we could be bought back. Priceless. What difference does that make? What does it mean that we are the redeemed and we have a redeemer? Yeah, we can have it up here. We can understand that, but how does that play out in our real lives? What does it mean that we are redeemed? What does our redemption mean? What does it mean that we sip from this cup of redemption? How does that play out in our ordinary lives? About a year and a half ago, I received a strange email. Dear friend of mine, we had gone to seminary together, we had been fellow pastors together, and along the way, he was elevated so that in the denomination that I serve, we have geographical groupings and superintendents or bishops, I don't know what you have. He was kind of superintendent over this conference, and so he became my friend, but he also then became my, like, kind of boss, sort of, but kind of superintendent. And then he was so good, Dick was so good at what he did, he got elevated to be the vice president of our denomination. Amazing man, Dick Lucco, amazing man. Gifted. Dick started battling cancer. And as he was battling cancer, he began writing a devotion. He'd read a passage of scripture and then write his thoughts about it. Well, after he passed a couple years ago, they collected all these devotions that he had written, 126 of them. And so they contacted 126 people. Could you respond to what Dick wrote? Just a brief response. I was humbled to be one of those 126. Yeah, love to. So I wrote my response and sent it in and forgot about it. A couple weeks ago, my wife Colleen and I went through a really bad time. As hard a time as we have experienced in ministry. Wednesday. So angry. Hurt. Feeling things that probably pastors should not feel or experience, but I was, just saying, devastated. Did not feel like I was redeemed. I feel like I was in that window shop. People were just passing me by. Then on Thursday morning, the book that I had contributed to arrived in the mail. The title of the book is "The Cardinal Sings for Me, Hearing God's Voice in Adversity." Wants us to know that, as Dick says in his book, cardinals are symbols of hope. They show up. Yeah, a cardinal showed up not only in book form, but also out my window on that Thursday morning. It's like God was saying to me, I know you're going through a time of adversity. I know that this is not the sweetest time in your journey, but you know what? I'm bringing you hope. I'm bringing you a word of encouragement. I'm bringing you a glimpse that I haven't forgotten you. I still got you. Yeah, you are going through a hard time. My friends, I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what struggle is knocking on your door. I don't know what health concern a loved one that you have is facing. I don't know the job situation that may be threatening you. I don't know the family member who is estranged. But I'm pretty sure that if I sat down with you, you need that cardinal to show up in your life as well. You need that word from God to remind you. Paul will also write in Romans 15:13, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may be filled, overflowing with the power of the Holy Spirit." May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace. And so what does it mean to be somebody who's redeemed? For me, the takeaway is that we are people of hope. That though, as Tony Campolo said, it's Friday, Sunday's coming. That though we are going through hard times, we remain people of hope. Though our country is divided politically and our nation is at war, we remain people of hope. Though there may be discouragement at every bend, we remain people of hope. We are the redeemed. Jesus has made a difference in our lives, and that difference manifests itself so that we can be hopeful even in discouraging and disappointing times. So what's our takeaway from drinking from this cup of redemption? Psalm 130 said it. Word. The God of hope, fill us. So as we go out into our Lenten season, leaning into Holy Week, let's be people of hope. Let's be people who know that we have a Redeemer, and that we are the redeemed. That makes a difference in our lives. May the hope that we have as God's people lead us on, especially in the face of adversity. Pray. Oh God, out of the depths, cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear our voice. May your ears be attentive to our cries for mercy. You, Lord, kept a record of sins. Who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. So that we can, with reverence, serve you. Lord, during this season of waiting, we turn to you and ask for a spirit of hope to fill us and renew us. Make a difference in our lives. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus.